So welcome back to the Compassionate Capitalist Show. For those that listen to this on a regular basis, one of the things that you know is that, and the whole real reason why I do this show and why my guest is so important here today, I'll tell you about him in just a second, is financial IQ. Because my book is all about, Inside Secrets to Angel Investing, is about increasing people with potential to invest and have liquidity to invest in businesses, their ability to do that with confidence, and whether it's right for them and how would they go about doing that. And it's something that I first discovered when I first read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and then The Cashflow Quadrant from Robert Kiyosaki, and the whole idea of increasing your financial IQ and understanding how money works and how to make money work for you. And so today, that is going to be our focus. My guest, Curtis May, he is the president of Practical Wealth Solutions and the host of the Practical Wealth Show podcast. He has... He's certified and licensed within the financial planning sector, but his main thing is educating people so that they can make informed decisions about how they build their wealth, accumulate wealth, and keep their wealth, right? So there's a retention and a growth strategy. And those that are tuned into the Compassionate Capitalist Show or any of that, listen, know that to me, the greatest source of creating wealth is to be a successful business owner. That's part of the right side of the quadrant. Next piece of it, the bottom part, is an investor that invests their money so their money works for them. And so my personal belief that is, and this is why it's an inside secret, and has been a secret that the wealthy use to create more wealth, is investing in other businesses, having a piece of multiple businesses. How you go about that varies based on your access to capital, your liquidity, your knowledge base, your risk tolerance. All of that stuff dictates at what level you play in that. But there's all kinds of ways that you can do that. And I have guests on my show that talk about that all the time. But I really, you know, I want to bring Curtis on. For those that are listening, for those that are watching on YouTube, you know, here we are here. He's been waiting patiently for me. So Curtis, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being on the show. You've been doing this 35 years. You've been working with people that want to master their economic prosperity, master their financial wealth, and be a master of their destiny when it comes to finances. How did you become passionate about that, to dedicate that much time in your life towards that and have this and do a podcast on the topic as well?
Yeah, because, you know, I consider myself a financial, even though I help people implement, I'm a financial educator, right? And so I tell people what you know today will determine where you'll be at 5 to 10 years from now. And so you talk about Kiyosaki, that was pivotal for me because I was a typical, you know, buy term investor difference, max out your 401k, and then, you know, living through crashes. And so I read his book and I was like, what, you know, he don't really like it. And it was funny, the company I was in recommended I read it, which was a mistake on their part, because I read, you know, I read and then I go through the bibliography and then, all right, who else is he reading? And I heard this other woman, Kim Butler, talking about that, who, you know, and I'm part of her group, who introduced me to a strategy I teach called infinite banking. But but it was kind of that, just looking at what he was talking about. And I'm a third generation business owner, right? So my grandfather was self-employed. My dad was self-employed. So I've always had it, because he told me, I've heard from the time I was 7, you'll never make any money work for somebody else, right? So I never got that go get a good job talk, you know. So I actually got my insurance license in college, my investment license a couple of years after that, because they offered a business opportunity and I wanted to be in entrepreneurship. But then I realized what I'm teaching is crap. Not right away, but yeah. I started, you read stuff like The Creature from Jekyll Island and Economics in One Lesson. And, you know, it's like Morpheus, you know, somebody gave me the red pill, right? And you keep going down a rabbit hole and you start studying economics. And then, you know, and we talked about the cash flow quadrants. I realized what quadrant I was in. I thought I was a B. I was really an S.
You know, self-employed.
Yeah, I was self-employed. I was working all the time. My father got injured. We had a tavern. One of the busy at was a tavern. He got shot. Somebody tried to rob the bar.
Oh, no.
And he never really went back to work, but the business opened, the business closed, money got the pot. It kept working because he was a B. He had a system, right? And right. So, you know, but good eyes, angel investor, invest in good Bs, right?
Yes.
And so it's a key. So we talk about financial IQ. Financial literacy is what we teach clients is accounting, right? It's the ability to read numbers. So that's what you're looking at. And so one of the things I do in our practice is I really get people really focused on their numbers because the numbers tell a story. So I could talk to somebody for 5 minutes and I could draw them that little rich dad box. I said, let me show you what you just showed me. And here's how your money flows, right? And or they've been trained to invest for capital gains, right? Buy low, sell high. And that's gambling. That's not even investing. And because you can't control whether it goes up. So if you can't control it, your principal's not safe. According to Buffett's mentor, Benjamin Graham, an investment is something you put your money into where your principal's safe and you got a reasonable opportunity to make a profit. If it doesn't fit that definition, it is speculating. I hate to tell you, I think your listeners already know that, but that,
yeah.
And you might be speculating a little bit, but it's not investing. It's not gambling if you know what you're doing. So
right.
One of the things that we teach, you know, educate one is the root word of educate is educe, which means to draw out.
Wow. Okay.
So I don't tell people what to do. I think if you educate them and give them the choices, it's 2 + 2 = 4, right? So it's not that complicated. Money's not that complicated. And I want to empower people to think, not tell them what to think, right? And so that when stuff comes at you, I teach, you know, we call it principles-based planning, but there are principles that you have to adhere to so that every time you hit a new problem, it's not like, oh, I've never seen this before. So you start to see patterns and okay, this has happened. We've seen this play before. What we're going to do this over here, you know?
Right.
And so now that's why you have to have principles and not a bunch of tactics. Too many people are far too tactical and they're not strategic at all. And they have no principles.
Yeah.
And so principles drive strategy and strategy drives tactics. And so right. You have to be in order like that. So anyway, that's my long preamble, but I'm a huge fan of Kiyosaki. We basically take that, like his book, The Rich Dad's Guide to Investing. One of the things he says is investing is a plan, right? It's not a product or a procedure. So a lot of people are, you know, oh, you look at the stock market, they're trading. Trading is not investing. Trading is trading. There's nothing wrong with trading, but the product is stock and the procedure is trading. Same thing with flipping and wholesaling. That's not investing. They have no plan. And so a lot of people are just chasing returns, which is that's the main thing I teach people is the three rules of investing. We teach the five principles of personal finance, and we'll get into it later. And the three rules of investing, which are investing, do you know what asset is in between your two ears, investing yourself and your expertise, right? Invest in things that you can control the outcome or influence the outcome of. And don't chase returns. And so those are our three rules of investing. And so that kind of, and we say investing is not about buying something, it's about becoming something.
Right. Well, and the part of what I try to work on with folks through my, you know, all of this, the book mm-hmm. and the podcast is striving, particularly if you're a business owner that then becomes somebody that has this liquidity to invest in these different assets, you're striving to create generational wealth.
Yeah.
And when you start to talk to people that actually have generational wealth, they don't think transactionally. They think very long-term. I did an interview on my podcast with a family office that was currently on their seventh generation of the wealth that was created. They don't have any active businesses, but it was businesses, as you can imagine, 200 years ago that were started, right? And they're not making decisions on their portfolio mix that is for generation 10,
yeah,
right? So that they not only grow it based off of that, but they retain it and then they grow it. And the good news is, and you probably, because it's all part of the education side of things, there's so much ways to get access to data to make much better decisions about things than we, to not be emotion. I think one of the challenges that sometimes, particularly when they're chasing after something on the return on the stock market or return on something, sometimes people will get caught up in the emotion of something and not yes. the practical side of the subjective, you know, the dollars and cents of what the financial statements or the numbers look like and the data of things that are happening and just all of that kind of stuff. So you have a concept that you call prosperity economics that I believe, based on our prior conversation, deals with this concept of accumulation theory compared to the velocity of money strategy. A lot yes. of really juicy words there. Right. Break that down for our listeners.
I'm very principles-based. So I call it like the principles-based planning, you know, within, I'm part of something called the prosperity economics movement, but the crux of it is dinking, so different. So let me give you a few principles of prosperity and we'll go into accumulation. So the first principle is think, right? Think from a prosperous mindset. Scarcity thinking keeps you stuck. So yes. a lot of the politicians, it's dog eat dog, it's scarcity. You know, I was interviewed on some radio show down in Atlanta. And it was like, yeah, you know, the commercials, like the rich are getting richer and the billionaires are, you know, growing all their money through the pandemic. And so she wasn't expecting us. I go, okay, what's wrong with that? How does their winning make you lose?
Right.
Okay. So see, so you're not going to get away with that and mess around me. Curtis is going to call you out. And so I'm very, my nickname is Contrarian. So I, you know, just on GP, if you go right, the majority is usually wrong. That's my philosophy, right? I want to teach people to see the big picture. So you have to think from a macro standpoint. You need to see the whole playing field. You have to measure. One of the things that we talk about measuring is opportunity cost. That's something they don't teach in personal finance. That, you know, if you put a dollar, if you do this, you lose opportunity to do that. If you pay cash for something, we teach you finance everything you buy because, okay, you're making money from the investment, but if you use your cash, you're giving up money you could be earning, or if you pay something cash. So it's just certain economic principles people don't understand. Flow, you know, you got to focus on cash flow, control, you know, true investors. And when you look at affluent people, they want control. Move is talking about the velocity of money. And multiply. You want to make your dollars do double duty. What if you can make the same dollar do like four or five jobs at the same time? We call that velocity through simultaneous use. But what people are taught is what we call the accumulation theory. Okay. And it's a theory for a reason, right? So it's buy and hold, dollar cost average, get out of debt, you know, the rule of 72, modern portfolio theory, portfolio rebalancing, all of that. When you're hearing that, you invest for the long term, that's the accumulation theory. Okay. And so that, now who teaches that? So Karen, let's do a little exercise. I'll tell you where okay. you hear that. So let's say you're a financial institution, right? When this is retail investing, which sure. your listeners are, right? So when any financial product that's made is built with these four rules. So let's say you're a fund or you're a bank. And so you're trying to get me to put money in your account, right? So you're making it attractive to me. You want me to deposit your money in your company. And how often would you like me to put it there?
Every day.
Every day or every paycheck, right? And how long do you want me to leave it there?
You know, as long as it's making money. Right.
As long as but you don't care. I'll come back to that later. As long as possible. Right. And how soon do you want me to get it out?
Oh.
Right. Like you're Vanguard, you're Wells Fargo.
Oh, okay. Like okay. Take it to the bank. Okay. So you want deposit. Yeah. You want a regular deposit. I want to be able to keep your money so that I can make money on it as a bank because I'm investing your money and I'm playing the spread
game
on that. Yep. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why they take their 3 days or whatever they do when we've got electronic transfer.
Right. That's
that can
there
be
immediately.
Right,
that's right.
Immediately.
Right.
You know,
but. See, so that and they want it, and how soon they want to give it back? Never. So the game. And so Kiyosaki's book Fake, he says the magic never happens. meaning because the goal of the financial industry is not to make you rich.
Right.
Okay. The game they're playing is assets under management. That's the accumulation theory. Mm-hmm. My goal is to teach principles that help our clients become and remain financially free. So the focus is on what? Cash flow. Okay. And velocity. So think about your angel investor. So what do you want? Let's take Mr. Wonderful. So this is a velocity method. Okay. Okay. And in real estate, they call it the Burr strategy. That's all velocity, right? It's just different names. And some people do it, but they don't have a name for it. We call it the velocity method. So Mr. Wonderful goes, all right, I like your company. I'm willing to, you know, for this equity share, I'm going to give you $500,000 or $1 million. What's the first thing he wants to know?
What's your cash flow?
Right. What's your cash flow? But he wants to know how soon am I getting my money back.
Mm-hmm.
Right now he's got his money back. So now his risk is nothing because he's got all his original capital back, but he still wants that deal to do what? Flow off cash flow.
Right.
Right. But what is he doing with the money he got back?
He's reinvesting it. Yeah.
He's reinvesting it. And then he gets it back and then he puts in something else. And then that's velocity of money. Okay.
Okay.
So that's how institutions make money. So while they're teaching you to buy and hold and get a 15-year mortgage and pay off your debt, only thing you're doing for the banks is creating velocity and cash flow for them. Right. And so it's hard to win a game. You don't know the rules. So we're playing by rules that are set up by people that create the situations, control the outcomes so that they profit because we don't know how to play the game. Right. And so, you know, you want to leverage. So if a corporation had $1 million of cash and $1 million of debt, they're not trying to pay the debt off. That's a balance sheet neutral decision, right? Yeah. That's that, you know, because they understand monetary policy that what, you know, they want to use debt as money, right? To acquire real things and pay it back with depreciated dollars. See, so a lot of that, you got to understand the economics. And so I kind of translate this to personal finance. You know, our clients are, you know, business owners and real estate investors or people that aspire to that, right?
Right.
But you got to let that, and there's nothing wrong with them. They service a specific sector of economy. But I tell you, look, you got to let that Susie Orman, Dave Ramsey, David Bach stuff go because you have to decide, do I want to be rich, poor, or middle? This is one of Kiyosaki's books. It was called Choose to Be Rich. And his tape series, like 2002. And he said, listen, you want to be rich, poor, or middle class? You have to decide because there's different mentors and strategies. And they're literally the middle investing or financial for the middle class. And being rich is totally like 180 degrees differently. Right. And so if entrepreneurs, I tell people, look, 98-99% of the financial advice out there is wrong and will hurt you financially. But if you're a business owner or you're an entrepreneur, it's toxic. You're not trying to get out of debt. You know, there's good debt and bad debt. You know, you need liquidity, use and control of your capital. One of the things I'll ask people is I'll say to clients, I say, on a scale of 1 to 10, well, how would you rate your knowledge about the stock market? And they go -1, you know, 1, 3. And but literally they have like 15-20% going into their 401k. I said, do you know who manages the fund? What fund? Who's the fund manager? I don't know. What company? They might know the company. What stocks are in it? No. But the same person, I was thinking about this one person, they're like, they have 7 or 8 properties and a $700,000-$800,000 dental practice. And I skipped. So on real estate and your business, how would you rate yourself? So she's being modest. She's still got like an 8 or 9. I says, okay. And if I were to ask you this question 2 years from now, what would you be? Probably 11 or 12 because you're investing in your number one investment is in between your two ears, right? So we say, look, you got to invest in yourself, your expertise, your mindset, your skill set, and your network. And so that's always growing. Her control is going. As your knowledge goes up, your risk comes down. And so that's what you've got to be. So if you're now an angel investor, you were a successful B, or maybe you're still operating as a successful B quadrant business, but you've got the 3 E's, education, experience, success of cash, right? So now what can you do? You're looking for places to deploy your capital, right? So now you can see another good B with a good idea that has a good market share that you can, that's now what Rich Dad would call the fast track, right? So if you play the cash flow game, now you're getting into private equity deals, but you have to have money Right. So you have to be liquid. You have to have some cash or access to cash to be able to do that kind of stuff. But if you don't have the fundamentals right, you won't get there. You can make a lot of money. Income is not wealth.
Right.
You know what?
Right.
You know what I mean? That people are chasing. Oh, I make a lot of money. Okay. I see them make a lot of money and money stops. I mean, I played basketball in college. So I just see it from the athlete's perspective. You make a lot of money, you stop making a lot of money. Now you're broke because you are buying liabilities. You're not buying assets. You're just buying stuff that you feel you're deprived of all your life.
Yeah.
And right. You know, baby mamas, three baby mamas later, you don't have any money, but that's not the problem for your listeners. So we're not going
to. Yeah, right. I know that was the thing with Cashflow Quadrant was my biggest aha moment was that my house, everybody thinks their house is their biggest asset and it's their biggest liability. And that was like, wow, that's so right. And that would just, it completely flipped my brain. And that's the thing on education. When you start thinking about money differently than what, you know, we're so conditioned in so many ways when we're growing up, you know, not all of us are blessed with having parents that are, you know, business savvy. My mom was a school teacher. She had a scarcity mentality. She thought when she got a credit card, she got cash, you know, like this is, oh, they sent me money. No, mom, they didn't send you any money.
Right, right.
And, you know, my dad was a business owner, but I didn't have the same level of experience with him on that and didn't really learn a lot of what he went through until after his death. And so, you know, I had to undo so much of my perspectives on, you know, what it was. I had the good corporate gig and all of that kind of stuff for years. And it was max out your 401k. And, you know, it was only until I came, I never even heard of the term angel investing when I was with IBM. I thought I knew because my last job there was helping tech companies get access to capital, you know, through IBM and other sources so that they could go off and, you know, build a company and come back and get this money and spend their money with IBM and buy IBM stuff. Right. Yeah. And that was like my job. And so I totally thought I knew all about capital markets and I had no clue. I had no clue until I left and, you know, discovered the world of angel investing. And it was logical to me. It made sense that there was this entity in the between that it was different from banks, but I had, you know, I had no idea. That was why it was like this sort of secret. And I think a lot of our listeners have no idea that they can do that. And one of the things that I think, you know, kind of getting started, this whole idea of turning your 401k, there's so much money that is sitting on the, that's packed into there. And the idea of being able to take some of that, put it into something you direct yourself, so that you can invest in real estate, you can invest in alternative things, you can invest it and that money goes back in, you know, becomes an invest in angel investment or, you know, and do some of this stuff like Mr. Wonderful, where you get a royalty on that and you get your principal back and then you're accumulating with, you know, you're making money off of that royalty or you're, you know, financing small businesses that can't go. So every 90 days, your money is rotated and you're accumulating on that while it's using the same principle again and again. There's so many creative strategies that you can do that just depends if you're educated.
And it's just about education. You got to get educated. Right. There's a lot of ways to skin a cat, but if you don't know, you don't know, because you're not going to hear it from the typical person. They don't even know it. And they can't even do it because it's not on their grill. They have their grid of what they can offer through the broker dealer or through their registered rep. So you can't hear it. And so if there's four asset classes, right? Business, real estate, paper, and commodities, all you're going to hear about from them is paper, right? Maybe a REIT, real estate investment trust, but that's still paper and most of the money is going to the people. But you're what Kiyosaki is inside investing. You know, is this, I interviewed a guy on our show about leveraged buyouts, about how to buy businesses. And, you know, that was one of my favorite shows. I mean, you know, because like my favorite asset class is actually business. So in Kiyosaki's book, he says, let your businesses buy real estate. So I like real estate. I don't love it, but I like figuring out how to make money. I like, you know, because when you talk about capitalism, I always tell people, you know, I use the F.A. Hayek definition, an ever-expanding system of cooperation among strangers, right? And so cooperation, and it's just, or I was talking to these kids, because the school system is like, every time my kids come from school, I got to unbrainwashed them, right? And, you know, because it's the school, they're all Marxists. I didn't even know they're Marxists, but they're all Marxists, right? The professors. And I'll probably get myself in trouble. But so I've got to kind of reorient them to how to think, how to be in control, because money, I don't think you have to be, I think capitalism is compassionate, okay?
Yeah.
Because money follows value. And so you create money. See, people say I need more money. That's the wrong, money's a result, right? Of creating value in the marketplace. So you need to ask yourself better questions. How can I serve more people? How can I become more efficient? What problem can I aim this big brain at to solve? And the bigger the problem that you can solve, the bigger the check, right? So helping people get what they want. And so that's, so to me, if you understand, I have a mastermind, I have a membership program, right? It's called Money for Life Club. And we do a Saturday mastermind, and I don't have it in front of me, but I was going over the speech, the wedding speech from Atlas Shrugged, right? And it starts out with, what's the, you say money's root of all evil, what's the root of money? Right. And so where does money come from? Well, it's some entrepreneurs creating value in the marketplace. I'm paraphrasing, but so I don't think that you have to back in or feel some kind of way. I don't think your listeners have that problem, but some people are like, they're like, oh, I don't know. And listen, you know, it's nothing wrong with profits. Okay. What Jim Rohn says, profits are better than wages, right? And wages make you a living, profits make you a fortune. But how do you do that? You've got to, you know, Zig Ziglar says, you help enough people get what they want, you'll get everything you want. So I think if you focus on that, you don't have to worry about it. Now, what Curtis does, I'm going to make sure, so you got to make it, that's your job. I'm going to help you keep it, okay? And potentially grow it, but it's really your job to grow it too. See, you've got to be active, create, you know, velocity, get money moving, focus on cash flow, focus on leverage, and do what the institutions do. See, we do what the institution would never lock money up for 30 years. They would never give up control of money. Okay. So why are we, how does they get us to do those four things that I just talked about? Because they frame it as this is conventional wisdom, but they don't do that. So we have to, you know, in my community, people that don't like Trump, right? And I'm agnostic, right? So when he says we'll only pay $750 in taxes, here is the question. I just put it out on Facebook just to, was this wrong? I put the article out just to see what people would say, just like stirring the pot. And they go, well, today is ripping. I said, no, ripping people off. I said, listen, it's the law. I says, here's the question you should be asking. How do I do that? I tell people, look, don't hate the player, hate the game. See, why can he do that? Because he's on the BI side of the triangle, and our tax code is I heard this from Tom Wheelwright. I'm not actually wild about IRAs. I'm not going to go deep on it. I don't like putting real estate in IRAs. I like self-directed, and you have a lot of capital. You might as well put that capital to work, because if you can direct it in things you understand, you could probably outperform a Vanguard or a Fidelity or whatever being self-directed. I don't like real estate because, you know, qualified plans really only do two things. They defer taxes. This is a Roth, and they defer the calculation of those taxes. So you're making a lot of money, but, you know, at 72 and a half, you've got to start taking distributions out. So you got to make sure that you have things to deduct, because that money comes out as ordinary income. So your number one expense or wealth transfer is taxes. So as you're doing this, you've got to look at, okay, I've got your most wealth is lost. So if you're working on creating maximum wealth, my message to your listeners is the first thing you want to do is don't chase returns. You want to create maximum efficiency, right? And so the one is like six things. How you manage cash flow is one, not taking profit. Mike McAllister has a great book called Profit First. So we have a cash flow mapping system we teach entrepreneurs of making sure that you pay yourself first. It's kind of like the envelope system for business, but you must pay yourself first, because people pay themselves last. I got to pay my salaries. No, you have to pay yourself first. Okay. Because the business is there to make you rich. Okay. Which means it allows you to live the life you want to live on your terms. That's why you're in business. Like, freedom is a big driving force for me and for our clients, is you want to be free. And we call it, we affectionately call it the position of FU, right? So we want to get you to the FU position in 10 years or less, okay? And, but this, so it's cash flow, but then it's how you pay mortgages, taxes, how you people fund their qualified plans that, you know, that let's say you're still a corporate refugee, how people pay for college and how they pay for major capital purchases. So there's more money lost in those six things than you ever make trying to pick winning investments. Okay. So if you have to get that under control. So now when you make new money, boom, now you're efficient. You're going to keep all the new money that you're making. So you always have to be focused on, you know, like I call 90-day targets of how you're going to grow your passive and business income. Like I really teach people to think that's another level of what we talk about, but it's like, here's where you are now. Here's where we want to be at a year from now. And then we break it back into 90-day targets.
Yeah. Is that like becoming your own private bank?
So that's something else. So that's a strategy. So the principles, let me just hit them real quick. I won't go into them, but are save 15% of your gross income, maximum protection, which is what I call playing defense. That's insurances, you know, auto, home, entities, trust, you know, LLC. So you got to have asset protection. You can get disabled. So most people skip that step and they're leaving themselves vulnerable to lawsuits, to illness, to death. Three is what I call forward placement of assets at death, which is, I call it leaving a legacy of wealth and wisdom. So talking about the family office and seven generations, there's a legacy. Most of the families that do that, they think like 100-year blocks and they have a system of family governance. And so that's one of the things that we try to get into. And four is 6 to 12 months of liquidity. The number one problem I see is lack of capital, not even access to capital, lack of capital on an individual level. So this is what the banking thing is, a strategy I'm going to tell for you next, but you got to get money because if you don't have capital, see, people are taught to invest. Really, they should be capitalizing, meaning they should building up liquidity, because if you don't have capital, you're illiquid. So you can't even put stuff in things that you need. There's not efficient markets like a mutual fund. So you're not going to be able to sell it and get your money back out. So you have to have enough capital and cash flow to be able to invest in other stuff because you might not get an ROI right away. Right. And so you have to have, because if you don't have capital, we say 6 to 12 months or more, you have to invest in what the masses invest in. You have to invest in mutual funds. You're trying to put, you know, $500 in IRAs. You're trying to do a Roth IRA. If you make the kind of money to be on this show, you can't even do a Roth IRA. You make too much money. You know what I mean? So it's different, right? So now the bank, and so the fifth one is velocity, right? So banking is a strategy where we teach people to run their, what we call their personal economy, like the institutions, like Bank of America, okay? Bank of America, I have this guy on my show that'll probably be out in a couple of weeks, Barry Dyke, called the Pirates in Manhattan. So these big institutions, Comcast and the banks, they store their tier one capital in what's called permanent life insurance, whole life insurance. So that's where they store their cash, right? So what is your tier one capital? I tell people, see, I'm trying to do what they do. How do they do with money and how can we copy? Because those, what I call corporate strategies, work in personal finance, right? And so now, what if you could use your money as collateral, right? And then use it for something else. Well, your money is still over here making money, but now it's in the investment. So if you had enough sufficient money in your, we use whole life, is the tactic. So the tactic is properly structured dividend paying whole life. But it's not about that. It's about you've got capital. And when you see something you like, now, instead of using your cash, you could leverage the cash you have and go invest in this thing over here, but your money is still in the account earning 4%. So now, and it's insurance and you're earning dividends. So now you're making money in both places. So a lot of your listeners, if you just added that step, you would create more efficiency. You would create more velocity and you would have all of your money working all the time. So that's it's two books I like for it. It's Becoming Your Own Banker by R. Nelson Nash, who I knew personally, he passed away 2 years ago. And there's another great book called Money for Life. And He's about 80. He's my Nelson Nash because he's still alive. And I talk to his name is Jeffrey Reeves all the time. And well, not all the time, but we had lunch. I was in Denver in January. And so I keep in touch with him because his book is really simple, clear, very strategic. And I really love, I like simplicity. And I like, and what I do is I use books as a textbook. I always tell people, because nothing, we talked about this earlier, there's nothing new under the sun. And if it works, I don't do stuff because I said it's good. You trust, but verify, right? And I'm going to, because if you have a question, I'm like, all right, go to page 54 and let's look at the equipment financing. And I'm going to teach you. Wow, you really know this book. Yes, this is what I do. I do it and I teach it, okay? And so you need to know this by like the back of your hand because it's your money. It encourages money. I'm the guy. I'm Obi-Wan, right? You're Luke. I'm just letting you know the force exists, but you still have to do your training to become a Jedi, right?
Yeah.
Because, and so that's how I position myself is I have a plan for you. My principles, that's the, you know, the is our how, why is you want to become financially free. It's right out of Simon Sinek, right? And then the what might be properly structured dividend paying whole life. So principles drive strategy. The banking is the, one of the strategies that we teach, right? The primary one. And then the tactic is a product that you buy. Yeah. And so that's kind of how I frame it. That's a long answer, but.
I get that money is a force. It's like in the book, it's like Secrets to Angel Investing. I talk about it almost like a living force. Like it's a river that finds a way. And you see those trends happen in the marketplace and you see things that, you know, once you start to get attuned to the nature of money and how it works, how it can compound, all those kind of things. And you can start to see how money, like a river, will find and water will find a way to get, you know, it'll find a crevice.
Money goes where it's valued, right?
Yeah.
And so, and if you have like, so this goes back to the mental part. If you have disdain for it, you're not going to get it. Okay. And if you put up dams to it getting to you, you're going to block yourself. Okay. And so if you start understanding, I start studying like Austrian economics, you talk about the business cycle theory and really free market economics. Then you start to see how the Fed creates distortion and it's going to cause problem, but it's also going to create opportunities. And you need to be able to see them coming from farther away, right? So if you know, people say, oh, inflation. Printing money is inflation. That's what people don't get. It's like, when you say your quantitative easing, that is inflation. Inflation is an increase in the money supply. So now the result of monetary inflation is that the dollars are in existence buys less. Okay. And so what we are perceiving as higher prices is the value of the dollar, purchasing power of the dollar going down. So you have to be able to understand what's going on. Now, if that's what's happening, money's got to go somewhere, right? So where's it go? Into real estate, into commodity prices, into Bitcoin, into the stock market, because there's nothing going on in the stock market. All is based upon volume. That money's got to go somewhere. It's driving up the price. But there's no real pricing, no true price discovery. So now what happens if I'm an investor, what industries does inflation benefit? And I want to see that and I want to get ahead of that game. So you have to kind of, you know, you have to, that's what we talk about. Think from a C, from a macro standpoint, you've got to see it. And so you're seeing a little bit farther and you understand the ripples are coming and you're working to A, position and protect your personal economy. Jamie Dimon calls it a fortress balance sheet. You want to build a fortress balance sheet. And I kind of try to teach that concept on a personal finance level. Okay, so that you can protect yourself from things coming at you, but also be able to switch and gain ground because you've got dry powder to take advantage of opportunities of people going out of business. So fire sale prices, because you're liquid. And when you see an opportunity, you don't have to spend weeks trying to get money and raise money. Boom, you're liquid. That's why you have to be liquid.
Yeah. So as we start to wrap this up, because we could talk forever.
I know you got me hyped right now.
So... this, you know, what I'd like to, for those that are listening that aren't there yet, right? They haven't accumulated a lot of wealth and already doing a lot of this type of of investment and strategy and things like that. You were, you know, there, and, you know, they don't want to chase returns, but is there, you know, like a preferred method, or what do you think are some ideas for people that they want to accumulate their golden egg that they can then do these things to make it, you know, so like sometimes people will do a flip, you know, they'll get right. involved in those.
So
kind of things on
yeah,
real
I mean, those
to get
are,
it,
okay.
Or they'll do purchase order. They'll finance the purchase order financing that I talked about to accumulate, you know, a return right. over a period of time. So they're getting a compounding effect of using this principal base amount. And then they yeah. kind of have more flexibility with their cash on hand. Do you have a preference in that area?
No, I don't actually. So again, it goes back to the principles. So there's no, most people look for like some magic bullet, some magic silver bullet, and it doesn't exist. You've got to save 15, 20% of your gross income. That's step one, because that leads into, you got to protect what you got. But step four is the liquidity. Now, and within that liquidity, what is the fastest path to cash? Business, right? So if you, so how would you do that? So you got to sell something. A guy I know on a podcast, his name is Jay Jones. He has a podcast called Black Entrepreneurs Blueprint. But one of the things he says, you let's say you're starting out, right? Dale Lymire calls it, who has a great book called The Millionaire Maker, calls it a cash machine, right? So the best way to create velocity is to find something you know how to do where you can generate new money, right? So it could be a flip. It could be wholesaling, so you can get big, if you can find it, you know, big inflows of capital to get your money up. But you've also got to, it's like rowing a boat. You may have to do some of that, but you need to be buying and holding so you have assets and cash flow. Now you've got leverage. Now you're getting the three E's, education, experience, and excessive cash. So there is no shortcut to this, right? And so remember, there's no bad investments, there's bad investors. So you need to look at the asset classes. What do you like, right? I like business. So I have a membership site. I grow my practice. I train other people. I get paid for training. I was speaking at my first event in Vegas where I was talking to other financial advisors, teaching them principles-based planning.
Multiple sources of income within your businesses.
Within your business, you got to look for ways, your fastest path to cash. So your best investment is your business. If you're in business, your best investment, mm-hmm. that's what you can control. So what do you invest in your business? Marketing, sales, systems, people, copywriting, right? That's what makes money. Well, who can if you have a good process that solves problems, well, you need more people to see what you're doing. So if I consult with business owners, I'm like, okay, if they have a cash flow problem, I know they have a marketing problem. And so I happen to be the financial advisor. I have a class I teach called Seven Steps to More Sales and Profits, right? And so it's only like, even if you're an angel investor, if you're looking at stuff, you can look at and you can tell where the problem is, right? So I'll look at, okay, there is only three ways to grow a business. So let's say you're looking at a business. Well, you can increase get more clients, increase your conversions, or to increase customer value, right? And so there's lots of ways to do that. Frequency, raise your prices, cross-selling, upsell, you know, that kind of stuff. And so if you're going to invest, maybe you're bringing technical knowledge that they're missing. A lot of business owners, there is so many ways to that. I show people like 20 ways that they could grow their business 20 months or 30 that without spending a dime on advertising, that's just sitting there right in front of them, but they don't see it as an asset. And that old client base, they don't call again. They don't keep in touch with people. They don't, just basic stuff that sometimes they're tired. They don't get it. You know, younger people that are starting businesses think the internet is marketing. Internet is a channel. Right.
Right.
And so, you know, that kind of stuff. So, I'm an internet marketer. The internet's I'm a big Dan Candy fan. Right. So it's just a channel. OK. And so it's like looking at that kind of stuff. So that's how you get yourself fast. You got to sell something. There's only six things you can sell: your physical product, your digital products, or your services, somebody else's physical products, somebody else's digital products, or somebody else's services. So you want to get from the fastest way from the bottom to the top, sell something. Affiliate marketing, network marketing, you know, consulting. What do you know how to do? So if you're like working and you want to get out the rat race, you've got to figure out how to get your money up. Okay. You need to get your money up so that you can become an accredited investor. I was just having a conversation with somebody. The reason you're in business is you're not in business to buy cars and houses and all that dumb stuff. You want to be a credit investor so you can get into really cool stuff, or you're, through, you know, private equity type person being an angel investor, but you have to have the capital to do so. So how do you get that? We got to get your business up. I don't, you know, it's, unless you're like a high paid executive where you just have so much money and you got, you know, $2 million in your 401k and you want to self-direct that. Okay. That's good. And I would probably do that within a fund. Okay. And some type of, you know, group of people. So, cause you don't have the education experience yet. You have the cash.
Right. Right.
And so does that help? That answer your question?
Yeah, it does. It does. That's good. I mean, that's, you know,
that's how it works. I mean, there's no magic thing. There's no product that's going to take you to glory.
Right.
At all. Just so anybody's telling you that, they're full of crap. And so there's strategies, but you must have principles when it comes to money. And so everybody wants an easy bus and they want to skip steps, and you can't skip steps.
Right.
And if you listen to people, if you listen to her shows, you'll see patterns in all the people that are really successful.
Oh yeah. And then, you know, to the whole thing about, you know, it's you accumulate your cash, multiple revenue streams is the best way to do that. And have, you know, cash flow, as you're saying, coming in. And then if you are to decide to invest in businesses, or decide as one of the things that you're investing in income producing real estate, if you're doing those things, it's never just one. You have to have a strategy that says as you're accumulating and you get your dry powder, then you've got a strategy for your different asset classes to to put the diversity,
which is principle five, right? That's why they're in order, right? If you won't get the liquidity if you don't save. Saving's a verb, right?
Yeah.
And you've got to have that capital while you're educating yourself. I make our clients read a book, really two books a month, one on money, one on like leadership skills, negotiation, you know, Chris Voss, all that kind of stuff. And then now, Jay Abraham calls it, see yourself like a little hedge fund. Now you've got this liquidity. Now they're reading your book, right? And they're, okay, well, I like this angel investing thing, and I think I can create value here. And they get started, and they work their way in, and they find their asset class. Some people like apartment buildings. You know, so you had a Rod Khalif on one of the shows. He just came out 2 weeks ago. I interviewed him also. We didn't even talk about multifamily. We just talked about attitude and goal setting, right?
Yeah.
And for a while, I was like, oh, we never had. I was like, well, okay. They can go to his white site to get the stuff on the apartment comic because he loves talking about this. I was like, okay, let's go here. And because I haven't gone there that much. And I think that your mindset is major. Everybody wants to skip that part. But if you don't have that right, it doesn't matter. Then you have the fundamentals to get the money. And then you're now, what do you do with the money?
Yeah. So for everybody that's listening, Curtis May, you can reach him, get practicalwealthadvisors.com. I should have said that earlier in the show, practicalwealthadvisors.com. Of course, it'll be in the show notes. And on LinkedIn, it's just Curtis May.
Yeah.
So that's how you can reach out. Do you have that list on your website?
They would need, I don't have, not yet. But my recommended reading list.
Yeah. Cause listen,
y'all can email me. I need to update it. Cause you see my library back here. I might buy like four or five books a month and not counting my Kindle. Right. And, or Audible, but you gotta leaders are readers, as somebody told me a long time ago. Another thing I would say, listen to the show, Practical Wealth Show. So, you know, that's where you can check out my YouTube channel, because I do a lot of like lesson screen shares on different topics about money, economic, so you can see it. So I can kind of bring some of these concepts to life. And then if you're in tune with the madness that is Curtis, you can always go to the site and click apply to work with me, and we can talk, and I'll give you a complimentary consultation. The other thing I'll do, I have a gift for your listeners. So we've been talking about velocity. I actually have a report that they can text to called How to Build Wealth Using the Velocity of Money. Okay.
Oh, great.
All right. So if they will text PWEALTH, P-W-E-A-L-T-H, to 55444. So it's a short code. Text 55444, and in the message put PWEALTH, and then it should, if somehow my system's not working right, then just email me and I'll send it to you. But yeah, check out the show, and then in the links of the show, we try to meet with people, because I'm not just talking about this. We do this, right? But it's your money. So I will give you homework. I'm going to make you read something before you even call me, because it's your money. It's not my money. So it can't be more important to me than it is to you. So Curtis gives homework, because I want, it needs to be a partnership of us both understanding, you know, your game, where you are, because everybody's different. If everybody on this call would be a different, I have basic principles, but everybody's at a different place, you know?
Right.
And, you need a custom, your little special snowflake, right? So.
Yeah. And I would say, folks that are listening, you know, one of the things that sometimes people think, well, I'm not ready for that. I don't have enough money for any of that kind of stuff now. They should get in touch with you, because you will solve that problem to educate them, or for give them the tools to educate on how to get
Curtis
the money.
Is the, people say, I'm not ready. Well, I want to get myself together. I'm going to call you. So listen, let me tell you something. I am the get yourself together guy. Okay. That's what I do. Okay. I help people find money that they're losing unknowingly, unnecessarily. So I know you don't have money. You may have good cash flow.
Yeah.
When I say save 15% of your income, I know you, some of you are doing that. Most of you are not, but it's there. You just have your money going to the wrong places. You're inefficient. So I have people where I've found anywhere from $500 to like $3,800 a month, just going in, looking at inefficiencies and redirecting the money to free up cash flow. So that's the work. See, that's the having money to save is the result of creating the efficiency so we can improve your cash flow today, not 5 years from now, today. And that's the goal. And the goal is to get you out the rat race in a decade or less. So I'm not interested in the 40-year plan. I don't believe in living a deferred life. I want you to take one or two vacations a year. And we're going to, I'm going on my third vacation this year in 3 weeks. Okay. So I believe work hard, play hard, right?
Yeah.
So anyway.
I'm heading out tomorrow. So
there you go.
Yeah. I know. I was on a show the other day. They were talking about KPIs, and the lady was talking about working 100 hours a week. And I thought, why?
That's a badge of honor. But, Dan Sullivan from Strategic Coach says, listen, you will not double your income until you double your time off. Right. And so here's another great book for your entrepreneurial listeners, or really by, because you want to be an entrepreneurial thinker, is the 12-week year. And I don't get any, but that is my operating system. So like the end of this month is like my third year this year. And then it's 12 weeks. You take a week and then boom, I'm taking a trip or a long weekend. Think about my goals. And then as an end run to the end of the year, right? And so that has grown my revenue or business size. I'll set two business goals and a personal goal. This last revolution I've lost, I just came from a doctor's office before I got on here. I went from, last time I was in was like 6 months ago. I went from 208 to 190. So I'm 5'11", 190. So now I was just telling my daughter I'm 5 pounds over my playing weight in college. I played basketball in college. And so I was like, okay, that's good. I feel good. But that was a goal, eat right, nutrition. That was one of my 90-day goals. And so you got to learn to think like an entrepreneur. You want to live in what I call the performance economy. And you got to let the bureaucratic time system go of 9 to 5 and focus on results.
Yes.
And that's key. Is learning how to think and learning how to be results driven and not, I worked so many hours, because you don't need to work that. You don't get paid for the time you put in. You get paid for the results. You bring that hour, as Jim Rohn would say. So anyway, that's another topic. We ain't going to go on another riff.
That's that work smarter, not harder idea.
Yes. And we work hard.
Right.
But you work smart.
Right.
I have an assistant, you know, and I realize, so she keeps my calendar full, right? And so you get help, you know, another, here's another one. And this is the last one I'm gonna say, who, not how, right? So that was a book I've been beginning of the year. I said, sorry, because I like to figure out how. I need to find my who, and if their price for what I want done is in what I think is reasonable, boom. I'm gonna give it to you to do, and I'm gonna keep it moving. So it's all those little things, right?
Right.
Is there's certain things you can't turn over. You got to figure out, maybe it's probably three things y'all all should be doing. And everything else should be outsourced that really generate revenue in your business.
Yeah. So the practical wealth, have you written a book as well? You share this knowledge in the written form at all?
I have an outline for a book. Okay. And so my next 90-day goals is to kind of get that out probably the first of the year. Right around the principle-based planning, you know, I don't even know what to call it yet, but it's around that. I'll incorporate some of the banking, but it's really about that and just the problems I see from my perspective. It's in particular it'll be for everybody, but, you know, one of my goals, Karen, is to create a million economically independent African-American people, because I don't think the information that I'm talking about gets to upper middle. And so people that are winning, I know a lot of, African-American business owners, and they are out hustling, but it's like little stuff you don't know that's keeping you stuck. Mm-hmm. And so there's a big audience for that. So if I write one, it'll kind of be geared, slanted towards that, because that's where my passion lies. But so it'd be like that.
Well, good. Well, we'll have you back on the show when that comes out.
All right.
We'll talk about it.
I appreciate it. I want to get that message out. So it's all good. Yeah. So thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
Letting me go on what I call a Curtis rant.
That's good. No, you got good information to share. It was terrific having you on the show. And I always conclude the show with onwards and upwards. So onwards and upwards. Talk to you soon, Curtis. Thank you again. And please go to KarenRands.co to connect up with me, and PracticalWealthAdvisors.com to connect up with Curtis. Thank you, Curtis.
Thanks for having me.